believe it or not, the way that you breathe affects the health of every single system inside of your body. And most of us are breathing wrong. And I know that sounds strange. I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but it's true. And before we dive into this episode, I want to do a quick test. So I invite you to place one hand over your belly button and one hand on top of your chest and take a very deep breath, the biggest breath that you can take. And notice, did your chest puff up with air or did your belly puff out? And did you inhale through your nose or through your mouth? Do you tend to snore or have issues with sleep apnea? The answer to all of these questions have profound implications on the health of your body. So if you struggle with chronic health issues, chronic period issues, chronic digestive issues, your answer to those questions, your results to that little breathing test that we just did are vitally important. And we're going to dive into all of that during this episode of The Conscious Pussy. Let's do this thing. Welcome, beautiful, beautiful human beings who are on a journey to awaken your conscious pussy energy. Welcome to this episode of the Conscious Pussy Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Alderetta, and today we're going to be talking about breathing and why you're probably doing it wrong. And I know that sounds like a very strange assertion to make, but it really is true. And my personal experience with breathing improperly goes as far back as I can remember. I was stuck in unhealthy breathing patterns, and I didn't realize this until I started unwinding all of my trauma and all of my conditioning and really learning about breathing and how it affects our physiology and literally the chemistry in our entire body. But I used to snore really badly. I was a huge mouth breather when I slept. I almost solely inhaled and exhaled through my mouth. I was a huge chest breather. And all of these things were profoundly affecting the state of my body and my body's ability to heal itself. And today I want to dive into just all of that shit. So why that is, how breathing affects our physiology, how it changes our body chemistry, how it is affected by stress, by trauma, how reversing our breathing patterns and getting our breathing pattern back in a healthy state can actually reverse health problems and really start to awaken your inner healer and start to ignite your conscious pussy energy. And that's why we're all here, isn't it? Is to do that. So I'm really excited about this episode because this is something I'm very, very interested in and something that I've been interested in for a very long time. And when I first got into all of this stuff with breathing and the science behind it, it was still just kind of an emerging thing. And a lot of this, I kind of consider myself to be a biohacker in a lot of ways, which means that I play around with things in my environment to see what effects they have on my physical body and on my body's physiology. And breathing was one that I got into, years ago. I don't even know how many, probably 8 or 9 years ago at this point. And at that time, the science was really just starting, so the scientific validation was not fully there at that point. And even now, I mean, some of the stuff that I do, you know, in mainstream medicine would probably be considered a little bit weird, but there's actually really hard, really good science to back up a lot of this stuff. And so I'm really fascinated with the ways that our breathing affects the, not only the physiology of our body, but the energetics of our body and the healing of our body, which is ultimately kind of what we're all here for, is trying to find a sense of lasting healing and wholeness. So before we get into kind of all this science-y, energetic, maybe a little bit of woo-woo shit, I want to kind of talk through the results of that breathing test that we did at the very start of this episode. So chest breathing. So if you were one of those who, when you took a big deep breath, your chest puffs up with air, which mine used to. This is extremely common to be a chest breather, and it wreaks fucking havoc on your health. So if you have a lot of, not a lot, but even any chronic health issues or issues with your periods or issues with your digestive system or issues with your immune system, issues with your skin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it is very likely that the way that you're breathing is contributing to that. And the reasons behind this are super fascinating. And also the fact that changing your breathing can heal your body is just fucking awesome to me, because it just goes to show how powerful the innate intelligence of our body is. And when we begin to tap into that, the profundity of healing that can occur is just so fucking cool to me. And it's something that I get really excited about. So you may hear, I might sound a little bit excited talking during this episode, because I love this shit. It's just so awesome to me that our bodies, that when we start to tap into certain things, our body becomes our healer and we become our own healer, which is just so fucking amazing to me. So that breathing test at the beginning. So I want to start with the chest breathing versus the belly breathing. And we'll get into the mouth breathing versus the nose breathing later on in this episode. But if when you take a deep breath, your chest puffs up with air, that means several things. So first of all, I just want to say that you are not alone in that. That is a majority of people at this point. And what this means is that you are most likely, your body is stuck in a chronic stress response state. And this is due to social conditioning and unprocessed, unresolved trauma. And when I say trauma, that means a lot of different things. Trauma is a spectrum. But ultimately, trauma results when our stress cycle, which stress is a cycle like everything else, but it occurs when our stress cycle is not able to complete itself due to social conditioning. And I dive into all of the details about that in another episode of the podcast. So if you haven't already, I would definitely recommend that you go back and listen to the episode. I think it's called Trauma, Illness, and Your Periods. But that dives all sorts of depths into trauma, into the stress cycle, into the nervous system, and kind of how all of that, how trauma ends up resulting from the stress cycle. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in this episode, but not quite in the same depth. But essentially, if you're a chest breather, which I was for a long time, most of the people that I know are, and most of the people that I work with start out that way, you're not alone, but it is most likely the result of your body being stuck in a chronic stress state or a chronic fight or flight response. And I'm going to dive into why that's the case, and then we'll get into how you can actually start reversing that or pulling your body out of that just by changing the way that you're breathing, which is pretty fucking cool, if you ask me. So let's just say, I want to start with an example that would be more from the kind of stone ages of human evolution and human existence. So let's say that a tiger is chasing after you. Your body's going to go into a fight or flight state. And there are multiple things that happen when your body shifts into this state. So your breathing becomes very shallow and quick, and you breathe into your chest to increase the amount of oxygen in your blood. The large muscle groups in your body all tense up. Your heart rate increases, you begin to sweat, your pupils dilate, and your body dumps a shitload of adrenaline and cortisol into your body. And that, in addition to many other things, but those are just a few things that happen, but all of these things happen for a specific reason. Your pupils dilate so that your visual acuity is increased, your breathing increases so that you have more oxygen in your blood, your large muscle groups tense up so basically what all of this does is preparing you to get the hell out of there, so run away or fight like hell to get out of that situation, to fight that tiger, or to just get the fuck out of there and not have to deal with fighting a tiger. So essentially, when all of this happens, your body also limits the amount of energy that it allows to go to things like your digestive system, your reproductive system, your immune system, and any other system in your body that is not absolutely vital in that moment to help you get the fuck away from that tiger. And this body state, or this nervous system state that your body shifts into during fight or flight, is called your sympathetic nervous system. So when you go into fight or flight, your sympathetic nervous system is activated and all those things that I just talked about get triggered. So this is part of the stress cycle. Your body is getting ready to either fight like hell or get the fuck out of there. And ultimately, if that stress cycle is not able to complete itself, if you're not, for whatever reason, if you're not able to run away, if you're not able to fight, but you do end up surviving the situation, say your body goes into a freeze response, you've heard of like possums playing dead and animals playing dead, that's a type of evolutionary response. And we do the same thing. Or if you've ever felt, you know, so overwhelmed that your whole body just shuts down. I even had a friend when I was younger, when she was in super stressful situations, she would faint as a protective mechanism. So she got into a car accident and she fainted. She crashed her bicycle when she was a kid and she fainted. And that's your body's way of trying to protect itself, is to essentially kind of shut down in certain ways. And it doesn't manifest as fainting for everybody, but ultimately, because of social conditioning in so many of us, actually, first, before I get into that, so that's an example with a tiger, but in the modern day, our body doesn't really know the difference between a tiger chasing us and, say, some really stressful shit happening at work or in our relationship or with our finances or whatever it may be. Our body doesn't know the difference. It evolved to fight against certain things that were happening in our environment, and our modern world has totally shifted the things that cause our body stress, but it reacts in the exact same ways. So it reacts as though a tiger were chasing us. So all of those same things happen with your breathing, with your heart rate, with your pupils, with your adrenaline and cortisol, with your digestive system, reproductive system, etc. All of those same things happen when your body gets triggered into that sympathetic nervous system. But the problem, and again, I go into detail about this in the episode about trauma, which I would highly recommend going back and listening to if you haven't already, is that we become conditioned in our modern world not to allow our body's natural stress cycle to complete. We're told to shut it down, don't cry, don't show your anger, don't show your feelings, suck it up, be a woman, be a man, big girls don't cry, big boys don't cry, whatever the case may be. There's so many messages that we get that prevents our body from naturally completing the stress cycle. And when that happens, your body becomes more or less stuck in this fight or flight or sympathetic nervous system state. So basically your body is just like a big lazy machine, is what I like to say. your body's fucking lazy. It's gonna do whatever is easiest for it. And if you either grew up in an environment that was highly stressful or highly unsafe, or, you know, whatever the reason, if you were conditioned as a child not to show your emotions, not to express what was naturally arising in you, your brain creates, and your nervous system creates pathways that it uses really frequently. And over time, the more it uses those pathways, the less energy is required for it to use those pathways. So whatever pathways it tends to use most frequently are the ones that it sticks with because it takes less energy. So your body's a big lazy machine, and if you had a lot of stress when you were a kid for whatever reason, or if you were socially conditioned not to allow stress cycles to complete by crying, by, you know, as kids, it's maybe less unhealthy skills like throwing a tantrum or screaming or hitting or whatever, then the body ends up getting stuck in that sympathetic nervous system because it's those pathways are the ones that are being used most frequently, and that's what's taking less energy. Or at least so it thinks. But essentially, if you're stuck in a fight or flight state, meaning, and a big symptom of this is being a chest breather, so if you took that breathing test and notice that your chest puffed up, you're probably a chest breather. But if you're stuck in that fight or flight state, or if you're a chest breather, here's just a few things that can possibly result from that. So you might experience things like chronically elevated stress hormones, or chronically elevated blood pressure, or an imbalance of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the blood due to your more rapid breathing. It can also result in things like chronically elevated heart rate or dysfunction in your digestive system, including things like IBS, inflammatory bowel disease, ulcers, acid reflux, constipation, hemorrhoids, and bacterial imbalance or yeast overgrowth. It can result in dysfunction in the reproductive system, like PCOS, infertility, amenorrhea, endometriosis, fibroids, irregular periods, period pain, cysts, polyps, etc., etc. And it can also result in dysfunction in your immune system. So things like autoimmune disorders, frequent colds or flus, or really anything else where your immune system is either struggling to or is unable to overcome some sort of anomaly or thing happening in your body that normally in a rested or non-sympathetic state, it would actually be, it would have the energy to be able to fight off. So all of these things result from chest breathing, which is fucking crazy, if you ask me. And when I first figured all of this out, I was just like, holy shit, I'm a chest breather. Here's all this shit that can happen because I'm chest breathing. Like, how many of the things that feel awful in my body are happening because of this? And I was like, get me the fuck out of this. Like, what? I could not just get out of that shit fast enough. I was like, show me what I need to do. I want to get out of this. Like, if it's just breathing, like, and I can breathe differently. That's something that I have control over. Like, yeah, it's easy. It, you know, takes minimal effort compared to so many other things, just like changing the way that you're breathing. So I was like, yeah, sign me up. Sign me up and show me what to do, please. I cannot wait to get the fuck out of that. So there's, and I apologize if I'm talking a little bit quickly, because it's one of those topics that I really enjoy talking about. And so ultimately, chest breathing, and not so good. So we want to get out of chest breathing if our body is conditioned to be in a state of chest breathing. And later, a little bit later in this episode, I'll get into exactly what you can start doing to help yourself get out of that state. And so that's coming up, and that's super important. But I want to talk a little bit more before I dive into the kind of counterpart or the more balanced or healthy counterpart to chest breathing. I want to talk a little bit more about trauma and social conditioning, because I think these are really important. So, and I get into all of, I talk about trauma pretty much in every episode. Are you noticing a pattern in this podcast so far? But so trauma is totally a spectrum. Trauma doesn't necessarily have to be something absolutely horrific happening, although those things that are horrific certainly are trauma. But I personally believe that the level of social conditioning that we currently have in our society is a form of trauma, because it's conditioning our body not to respond naturally in situations. So getting back just really briefly to that stress cycle. So stress is a cycle like everything else in nature. And when our body isn't able to fully complete a stress cycle, trauma is what results. And then our body gets stuck in that sympathetic nervous system state, and we're just on heightened alert all the fucking time. And we get triggered, and we get stressed out really easily, and we're just like really on edge, or maybe we're just walking on eggshells around people, or people are walking on eggshells around us. And I'm super, super familiar with all of that shit, because I lived in that space for so long, and I didn't even realize how stressed out I was. And I know that I've said this in other episodes, but it's super important. And it's something that I think so many of us are not even aware of, is just how stressed out we are. For me, I was conditioned, my body became conditioned to be in a sympathetic nervous system state. So I was a chest breather, and that was just my natural state. That's what felt natural to me. That's what felt normal to me. And so, and I didn't know what anything else felt like. I mean, maybe when I was like a little kid, but I, you know, as an adult, I really had no experiential memory of what that felt like. So I was stuck in that sympathetic nervous system state without really even realizing it. You know, I thought that, oh, my levels of stress are probably about normal. You know, I have anxiety, but who doesn't? Sometimes I feel depressed, but who doesn't? And I have, you know, issues with my body, and my body doesn't always feel good, but like, whose doesn't? And that's true. Most people in this world that we live in have chronic health issues, struggle with anxiety, struggle with depression, struggle with all of these things. But what we're not told, I think because it's so widespread that collectively we've come to view it as normal. But like, that shit is not normal. That shit is not natural. And I can attest to this. Like, I pulled myself out of that. I don't live in that space anymore. I don't live in a space where I'm stressed out. I'm very rarely stressed out. And things just kind of roll off. And when situations arise or difficult experiences arise, I stop. I give myself to them. I allow the emotions or whatever it is to move through me, and then it's fucking gone. Like, I don't carry that shit anymore like I used to. And I think it's really important to mention that, because I think our mind is really good when we hear things like, if you're a chest breather, you might have trauma. Our mind is really good at saying like, but I didn't go through XYZ. So like, no, or like, I don't feel super stressed out. So like, that doesn't resonate with me. Our mind is really good at talking us out of allowing something to be true. Our mind is really good at making excuses, at saying, well, if it was this person went through this, or like this person's life is so much worse, therefore my personal experience isn't as valid, or my personal experience doesn't fall into this category. And what I hope is one of the takeaways from just the Conscious Pussy podcast in general is that we live in a sick society. We live in a very sick society on so many levels. And my whole healing approach is tapping back into the body, not necessarily wanting people to face their emotions head on, although there is space for that, there is benefit to that, but tapping back into the body's wisdom to allow ourselves to move through these things. So that was an aside, a little like sidestep away from the breathing stuff, but I think it's important to just reaffirm that stuff and to, I don't know, just like validate those experiences and just reaffirm that like you're not fucking alone and your body's not meant to feel like shit. So if it does, it's trying to tell you something. And your breathing is a very powerful tool to tap into your innate healing abilities. And so if you are stuck in that chest breathing state, again, you're totally not alone. I used to be in that state. I used to be just chronically stressed out. I was stuck in a fight or flight state. And it took me a long time to admit that to myself, to be honest. Like, I've kind of fought that for a while. But ultimately, the state in terms of breathing that we want to reside in is belly breathing. And so when we did that breathing test, and I asked that you put one hand over your belly button, one hand over your chest, and take a deep breath. What we want to happen when we inhale, we want the belly to puff out like a balloon as you breathe in. And for some of us, that probably feels real fucking backwards and real fucking weird. And I was one of those people. I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to puff my belly out when I inhale? That makes no sense to me. It made no sense to me because my body was conditioned to breathe into my chest. So breathing in a state that was more natural and that would pull my body out of that fight or flight state and into a what's called the parasympathetic nervous system or the rest and digest state felt very foreign to me. But that was when I realized that I was breathing that way, that was like a really big eye-opening kind of awakening moment for me. But so I just want to give a quick example. Have you ever watched a baby sleeping? Or this could even be your pet. Have you ever watched a preferably like a young infant sleeping? And if you don't really have, if you haven't spent a lot of time around young babies, then maybe think about a pet, a dog or a cat. Have you ever watched a baby sleeping? And have you ever noticed, and if you haven't, I encourage you to pay attention. If you've never noticed this, then pay attention to how they breathe when they're sleeping. Because when they breathe, when they inhale, their bellies, their big old cute round baby bellies, seem to inflate with air just like a balloon with each breath. Not their chest, their belly. And when we're super young, that's our body's natural state. And when we're super young, we haven't had all of that social conditioning that teaches us not to allow those stress cycles to move through us. So our body naturally resides in a state where belly breathing is the norm. And when we belly breathe, our body comes out of that sympathetic nervous system state or that fight or flight state, and it goes into the parasympathetic nervous system state, which is a relaxed nervous system state. And when we're in that parasympathetic nervous system state, we breathe into our bellies, not into our chests. our heart rate slows. Our stress hormones regulate. So we go into a state of homeostasis where our body's not dumping stress hormones into our body. Our digestive system regulates and comes back online. Our reproductive system comes back online. Our immune system comes back online. So all of these things that were out of balance during that fight or flight or sympathetic state regulate themselves. And ultimately, the way that our bodies are designed is they're designed to reside in the parasympathetic nervous system state. That is meant to be our state that we reside in for most of the time. And that sympathetic nervous system state is supposed to be the one that we kind of like flow in and out of for maybe like minute chunks at a time, anytime a stressor or a stressful situation or a potentially dangerous situation comes up. We're supposed to flow in and out of that and then come back into that parasympathetic state where we're doing that belly breathing. But what has happened in our society, because of trauma, because of social conditioning, is that our body never fully gets back into that parasympathetic nervous system state. So we end up getting kind of stuck in a sympathetic or fight or flight or stress response state, which just like wreaks fucking havoc on our health. It does awful, awful things to our bodies, and it's no wonder that we're so fucking sick. As a society, like, we're so fucking sick. And this is just my personal belief, is that trauma and social conditioning are a huge part of why, as a society, as a collective, we're so physically sick. Ugh. It's just such a shame to me, but I don't want to sound all doom and gloom, because there are ways that you can pull yourself out of this just by changing your breathing, which is fucking amazing, and I'm gonna get into that pretty soon. But before I do, I want to touch on the nose breathing versus mouth breathing. So are you a mouth breather? I used to be a mouth breather. I used to snore quite loud, so much more than I would care to admit. And I used to breathe through my mouth while I was sleeping. So sleep apnea and snoring and things like that kind of run in my family. But what I've learned is that it has more to do with conditioning than anything else. But I invite you to just sit still for a moment, seal your lips, and breathe only in and out through your nose. Inhale through your nose. Exhale through your nose, maybe for 5 or 6 breaths. And I just want you to pay attention to what this feels like. Does this feel weird to you? Or does it feel natural to you? If it feels a little weird to you, then you're probably a mouth breather like I used to be. And there's no shame in that, because there's a lot of reasons that we get stuck in mouth breathing. But nose breathing is really fucking good for your health. And I'm going to get into some of the science behind that. But if you do breathe through your mouth, like so many of us do, you're doing your body a huge disservice. And this is not to blame you for anything, because basically mouth breathing gets conditioned into us mostly when we're kids, and then we just grow up doing that. But it happens for a lot of reasons. So if you were bottle fed as a baby, if you were a thumb sucker as a child, if you used a pacifier a lot as a child, if you had chronic nasal infections as a child, there's so many things in childhood and in infancy that lead to mouth breathing, because it doesn't allow the muscles in and around the mouth and the nasal cavity to develop properly so that we get patterned into that nose breathing. But if you look at really small infants when they're sleeping, most of them, a majority of them breathe through their nose. That's the way that our body is meant to operate. We're meant to breathe in and out through our nose and maybe through our mouth, like if we have severe congestion or if we're sick or something like that. But for the most part, we're supposed to really be breathing through our nose. So if you've been conditioned to breathe through your mouth for whatever, there's so many reasons that that happens, but if you have gotten stuck in that mouth breathing pattern, your body is likely struggling and having a hard time and getting stuck in unhealthy dysfunction because of that. And the reason for that has to do with a gas called nitric oxide. So nitric oxide is a gas that is produced by the body in the nasal cavity when you breathe through your nose. So when you inhale through your nose, there's something in your nasal cavity that produces a gas called nitric oxide. And I don't know that scientists are really sure how that happens, like how the gas gets produced or why exactly, but that's just the way it is. So this nitric oxide is produced through your nose, produced in your nasal cavity when you breathe through your nose, and resultingly gets released into your bloodstream. And nitric oxide, I think you can buy nitric oxide supplements, and a lot of athletes and things use this. But nitric oxide is like a powerful, powerful chemical in your body. Some of the things that it does is it expands your blood vessels, which ultimately, as you're breathing, it allows your cells to uptake more oxygen. So when you're mouth breathing, your cells aren't getting the oxygen that they require for your body to function optimally. So your body may end up feeling fatigued. You may have something like things like chronic fatigue. And nitric oxide is very vital to the health of your body, to the health of your immune system. And this expanded blood vessels, so it basically, also when you mouth breathe, the level of carbon dioxide in your body and the balance of carbon dioxide to oxygen in your bloodstream is out of balance, and that can cause all sorts of dysfunction in your body. But basically, some of the things that nitric oxide does when it is produced in adequate amounts because you're engaged in nasal breathing, you get better, more restful sleep. You feel less fatigued. You're going to feel more energized because your cells are getting the oxygen and therefore are able to make the energy that they need. Nitric oxide lowers your blood pressure. It increases your insulin sensitivity and your glucose tolerance. So it helps with your insulin sensitivity, and it helps with your metabolism. It helps to regulate your heart rate. It regulates your sleep cycle. It regulates your mood. It regulates your reproduction. It regulates your digestion. Nitric oxide has profound, profound effects on your body. And it's not produced in adequate quantities when you breathe through your mouth. And I believe it's actually not produced at all, but I could be wrong on that. But it's certainly not produced in adequate quantities when you breathe through your mouth. So it's something that's produced when you breathe through your nose. So if you do find that you are more of a mouth breather, or that you mouth breathe particularly while you sleep, that's the really important one, then shifting into nasal breathing is going to have huge effects for your health. And I personally found, so I used to be a mouth breather, and I shifted myself into nasal breathing, particularly while I was sleeping, and I found that I felt so fucking good when I woke up. It was like for the first time in my life, I felt like I had gotten a full night's sleep, which was crazy to me. I just like, I was had been constantly waking up feeling exhausted, and that felt normal to me. I didn't know anything else. But once I shifted into that nasal breathing, I was like, oh shit, I feel rested. I feel energized when I wake up. I don't feel like shit. How was I living in that state for so long? It was crazy. So I'll get into how to start reconditioning and like repatterning your body for both belly breathing and nasal breathing. But before I do, there's one other thing that I actually found as I was creating the outline for this podcast episode is I found several studies that, and I thought this was really fascinating, and I was like, oh shit, all my weird hippie shit that I've been doing for years is actually like really relevant right now, is that I found several studies that suggest that nitric oxide that's produced during nasal breathing may actually help prevent COVID infection and possibly reduce severity of infection if you do get infected. And I thought this was just suggestion. And I know like these studies specifically say that we need to do more research, but that's what they were finding. And I thought that was really fucking cool. And I mean, if you need no other reason to do it, I think that's a pretty fucking good reason. And just changing the way that you're breathing is pretty simple compared to some of the other things that you could possibly be doing to either protect yourself or just ignite healing in your body. So the power of your breath is potent. Your breath is, I personally believe, one of the most powerful tools that you have access to. And the amazing thing is that it's with you all the time. You're always breathing. Your breath is always available to you. You always have the power to shift your experience through your breath, which is awesome to me. I absolutely just love that. So your breath is literally the gateway. It's your gateway into your nervous system because it stimulates a nerve called the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body. And the vagus nerve activates the parasympathetic nervous system, or that rest and digest state. And breath is the gateway from the fight or flight response to that restful nervous system state, which is fucking cool. And so essentially your breathing is part of your parasympathetic nervous system state. So it's part of both. So, but essentially, unlike your heart rate, unlike your perspiration, unlike your blood pressure, unlike your adrenal activation, your breath is something that is the part of your fight or flight response that you can consciously change and control, which makes it fucking powerful. Like it makes your breath literally the gateway into healing your body, which I think is so cool because you can change it, and it makes your breath an immensely powerful tool. It's essentially like this secret passageway that, for some reason, I guess just because science is really just finding out about this, it's the secret passageway from your sympathetic nervous system or your fight or flight or stressed out body state into your parasympathetic nervous system or your rest and digest and relaxed body state. And thus, it's ultimately like your breathing, the way that I like to think about it, is kind of a back door into awakening your body's healing potential and awakening your inner healer and awakening that conscious pussy energy, which is awesome. Like, that's so cool to me. So now we've talked about all that shit. Hopefully I didn't go over that too fast. I know I was talking kind of fast because I got a little excited. I think I was hoping that getting through all of that stuff would take a little bit longer than it did, but I guess I was just talking too fast. I couldn't help myself. So how, if you are stuck in that chest breathing state, if you are stuck in that mouth breathing state, how do you reprogram your body's breathing pattern to awaken healing? That's the big question. And I'm assuming that's what you're interested in if you're still listening this far into this episode. So the biggest thing for me that I recommend doing, that I work with people in doing, is engaging in breathing exercises daily. Ideally several times a day, especially when you're first starting out. And breathing exercises come in many forms. And the reason to engage in breathing exercises is because you begin, instead of just breathing unconsciously all day, you make space during your day to focus on and pay attention to your breathing. Ideally changing the way that you're breathing during these breathing exercises. And one of my favorite breathing exercises, which we can do real quickly here, it's called box breathing. And so if you're in a place where you're able to take maybe like 15 to 20 seconds to do this quick breathing exercise with me, I invite you to sit quietly, find a comfortable place to sit, or if you're standing, that's cool too. And I want you to inhale for the count of four. So inhale, 2, 3, 4. Now hold your breath at the top for 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Now hold it at the bottom with empty lungs for 2, 3, 4. And we'll do that again. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. One more. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. And if you do that for a few minutes, you'll notice your body starting to make its way into a more relaxed state. You might notice some tension melting away. You might notice you're feeling a little less overwhelmed. So this is called box breathing because each phase lasts for 4 counts. It's also called square breathing. So it's inhale for the count of four, hold it with full lungs for a count of four, exhale for the count of four, and then hold with empty lungs for the count of four. So it's 4, 4, 4, 4, pretty easy to remember. So even just doing something like this would result in pretty potent shifts in your body's nervous system. But where the real magic happens, in my experience and in the work that I do, is when you couple a breathing exercise like box breathing with belly breathing. And so learning to belly breathe is, or relearning, I'll say, because we all know how to do it. Relearning how to belly breathe is gonna be a really potent addition to breathing exercises, because belly breathing in particular is gonna activate your diaphragm and further activate your parasympathetic nervous system. So if you're doing that box breathing, but just breathing into your chest, eventually it might start to shift into belly breathing. But where the real magic happens is immediately shifting into that belly breathing and consciously doing those breathing exercises to shift your body into that restful, relaxed nervous system state. And if you are not in the habit of belly breathing, it's gonna feel real fucking weird. at first. Because if you're used to breathing with your chest, then your abdominal muscles are likely extremely tense, like overly tense and tight. They're not loose, more than likely, in a way that would allow your belly to puff out really big. And also, it's going to feel fucking weird. It's going to feel a little backwards. I remember when I first started doing it, I was like, wow, I feel like I can't take a full breath this way. But eventually, I started to really loosen those muscles. And also, my diaphragm was not as strong as it could have been, because when you're breathing with your chest, your diaphragm isn't activated. So essentially, what your diaphragm is, the muscle that sits right at the base of your chest cavity. And when you belly breathe, what happens is your diaphragm draws downward and creates more space in your lungs. So essentially, when you're breathing with your diaphragm, your lungs will naturally fill with air. When you're breathing with your chest, you're using all of your, I think they're called the intercostal muscles. So all the muscles between your rib cage are being activated. And it takes more effort to breathe that way than activating your diaphragm. And your lung capacity is also greater when you're breathing with your diaphragm. And that's actually the way that, if you've ever done singing lessons, if you haven't, that's totally cool. But when you do singing lessons, they will often teach you how to breathe with your diaphragm, because that makes for, I've never taken singing lessons, so I don't know exactly why, but it just makes for better singing. So your diaphragm will also likely not be very strong if you're used to chest breathing. So it will feel strange at first, but so the way that I would recommend doing this, that box breathing exercise that we just did, is, so now I'll lead it one more time, but with the addition of belly breathing. And if it feels weird, that's okay. If it feels weird, let it feel weird and keep doing it, because eventually you will get to a point where it'll start to feel natural. At first, it'll feel weird. So if you're not used to doing it, if your body's used to doing it the other way, it's going to feel fucking weird. And that's okay. I would be surprised if it didn't feel weird. So I invite you to place your right hand over your belly button, your left hand on your chest. So this is to ensure that as you're taking breaths, your belly is puffing out and your chest is staying still. So first, before we do the box breathing, I just want to do a couple of breaths where we're breathing into our belly. So inhale, puff your belly out. So I want you to poke your belly out as far as you can when you breathe in. And if you don't feel like you can take a super full breath, just go with it, because it'll get easier as you do this a few times. And then exhale, you're going to pull your belly button towards your spine. So you're going to suck in your belly when you exhale. Inhale, poke that belly out, poke your belly button out. Exhale, draw your belly button towards your spine. We'll do this maybe two more breaths. Inhale, poke your belly out, stick it out, 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 out. Exhale, draw your belly button towards your spine. One more. Inhale, poke your belly out, stick it out. Exhale, draw your belly button towards your spine. So that's belly breathing, and it'll feel weird at first. So that mixed with the box breathing. So inhale, 2, 3, 4, poke your belly out. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, draw your belly button in, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, belly out, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, belly in, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, belly out, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, belly in, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. So that may feel weird. Your belly may feel kind of tense and tight. It may feel hard to poke your belly out. And that'll just take practice. But that's I would recommend doing that every day particularly when you first wake up in the morning, is a really great time to do it before you go to bed. It'll help you sleep a little bit better. And then if you can make time to do it once or twice during the day, even better. Because the more you do it, the more your body will become used to it, the more natural it'll feel. Okay, so that's how to reprogram your body for some belly breathing. Oh, and with that exercise, if you can inhale and exhale through your nose while you're doing that box breathing, while you're puffing your belly out on your inhales and drawing your belly button in on your exhales, breathe in and out through your nose while you do that. And that'll be like double the awesomeness. So now, how to shift from mouth breathing to nose breathing. This one's a little, I mean, they're both, you know, going to take some practice, but this one's interesting because you can't necessarily pay attention to this all day, especially while you're sleeping. So one thing that's really helpful that I personally do is I have rolls of a 3M, I think it's like micropore medical tape. So the kind of tape that they use at hospitals and stuff to like stick an IV to your skin. I have rolls of that and I take a little piece of that tape and I put it over my mouth to keep my mouth closed while I'm sleeping. And so that's a thing called mouth taping, and it's actually gained a lot of popularity, and I've been doing it for years at this point. When I started doing it, it was still just kind of like a woo-woo, hippie, weird thing that I did, but I had started reading this emerging science about that, and I was snoring every night. I wasn't sleeping well, so I was like, let's give this a try and see what that's all about, and so I would definitely recommend doing that. So you can do that while you're sleeping. So put it over your mouth. You can buy it on Amazon. I think it's pretty cheap. And you can also, so you can either do it while you're sleeping or you can put it on your mouth and watch TV or do whatever you're doing in your house. And when you're wearing the tape, it forces you to breathe through your nose. So the benefit of this is that nitric oxide production. So if you're wearing it while you're sleeping, you're going to get more restful sleep. You're going to wake up feeling better and less, you're going to feel less fatigued during the day. But I will say that it's probably going to feel weird at first. The first maybe, probably 2 weeks that I mouth taped while I was sleeping, I woke up in the middle, it was either one of two things. I would wake up in the middle of the night ripping it off my face because I was so used to breathing through my mouth that my brain was conditioned to breathe through my mouth. So I would wake up in the middle of the night just like unconsciously ripping it off my face and being like, okay, I have to breathe this way. Or I would wake up in the morning and the tape would be on my finger or on my pillow or somewhere in my bed, stuck to a sheet or something because I had just unconsciously ripped it off while I was sleeping. So that happened for a couple weeks until I got used to it. And as I did that more, I would go longer and longer each day or each night without ripping it off. And eventually it became natural. And now I can't imagine not doing it. I still do it now after years. And I think at this point I probably wouldn't really need to, but for the first year was really vital for me because I would notice if I would forget it, like if I went traveling somewhere, if I forgot my tape, I would notice that I would wake up the next morning and just feel totally exhausted because I hadn't slept well because I had fallen back into that mouth breathing pattern while I was sleeping, which was really interesting to me. So it made a really profound difference in my sleeping. And now if I don't wear the tape, I don't snore. And if I don't snore at all. So I used to snore a bunch. When I started wearing the tape, I stopped snoring. It's also supposed to be really helpful if you have issues with sleep apnea. I would definitely recommend giving that a try, if that's an issue for you as well. So, but like I said, you can also wear it over your mouth when you're just relaxing around your house, watching TV, just doing something where it doesn't matter if you're wearing tape over your mouth. But yeah, so something, I mentioned this already, but it'll be really helpful if you can engage in nose breathing while you're doing those breathing exercises too. So in addition to that box breathing, another breathing exercise that's really helpful is simply just sitting still and paying attention to your breathing, breathing through your nose, puffing your belly out when you inhale. So when you inhale, puff your belly out like a balloon. When you exhale, draw your belly button towards your spine. But as you're doing that, if you can make it so that your exhales are twice as long as your inhales, so maybe counting. So inhale, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So those longer exhales will actually help to further stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system. Because one of the hallmarks or the markers of being in the parasympathetic nervous system state is long, slow breaths. And your exhales tend to be about 1.5 to 2 times longer when you're in that parasympathetic nervous system state. So when you're able to begin shifting your breathing in this way, or tapping into your breathing and starting to change the way that you're breathing, it's going to help your body start to heal. It's going to draw your body back into the parasympathetic state, which is where it wants to be residing, and open up all of those body systems that were deprioritized, that were partially shut down when you're in a stress response state. So your digestive system's going to function better. Your reproductive system's going to function better. Your immune system's going to function better. Every system in your body is going to function better just by shifting the way that you're breathing. No joke. And I'm not saying that this is going to heal everything that ails you, but you will likely find that it will impact a lot more than you realize. It'll lower anxiety, help relieve and alleviate depression, all sorts of stuff that you probably would never imagine is linked to the way you're breathing, which is really awesome. So breathing is really one of my favorite things to talk about, and I'm a trauma-informed yoga teacher. I'm a breathwork facilitator. I'm a meditation facilitator. Breathwork is really one of my favorite things to facilitate because it has such potent healing power, and because we have it with us all the time. You don't need anything outside of yourself to leverage the healing power of your breath. All you have to do is start paying attention. Maybe set what I used to do when I started out was I would set a reminder on my phone for a few times a day. You can do it anywhere. You can do it while you're at work. You can do it while you're going for a walk. You can do it while you're doing anything. Just paying attention to how you're breathing shifts the physiology of your body. It alleviates chronic issues in your body. It has potent, profound healing power. And not only that, certain types of breathwork, like holotropic breathwork, can induce altered states of consciousness in a way similar to psychedelics do. And that's all, like, Wim Hof's breathing technique is all about that. Like, it's, this guy is fucking incredible, and researchers have started studying him because just by using his breath, by changing the way that he's breathing, he's been able to consciously increase his body temperature or decrease his body temperature. He's been able to change the biochemistry of his body just by breathing differently. So your breath is a really fucking powerful tool. And you don't necessarily have to use it in those ways to induce altered states of consciousness, but there's really simple things that you can do to begin to awaken your inner healer and to ignite your body's healing potential, which, like, this whole podcast, the Conscious Pussy Podcast, is all about paying attention. Starting to pay attention and cultivate awareness so that you can awaken the healer that is sleeping within you. Because we all have a dormant healer inside of us. We all have a dormant medicine woman inside of us. We just need to kind of shake her awake. Say, hey girl, it's time to get up. That's what this podcast is about. That's what my work is about. I'm going to include some links in the show notes to some more breathing stuff. There's lots of information on Groove's website about breathing. So basically all of this stuff that I've covered in this podcast is also on Groove's website. So I'll link to that in the show notes. I have some videos of breathing exercises. There's a course that is on Groove's website that, at least at this point in November of 2021, has not been launched yet, but I am working on it. So if you're interested in a breathwork course to help you repattern your breathing, there's a place where you can sign up for that program. And I'll send you an email, since it hasn't launched yet at this point, but I'll send you an email when it does launch so that you can go through that. And that'll be a guided breathwork course, which will be really awesome. And yeah, if you're interested in doing some work with me one-on-one, I love doing breathwork facilitation. I do all sorts of healing stuff. So if you haven't figured that out already by listening to this podcast, I use a lot of different healing modalities. So if you're interested in exploring working with me one-on-one, there's a link to that in the show notes as well. I've really enjoyed talking about breathing with you, and I hope that this episode has encouraged you, if nothing else, to at least pay more attention to the way that you're breathing and to think critically about how that might be impacting the health of your body in ways that maybe you never considered. Thanks for joining me. Before we leave, I invite you to take a nice big inhale with me. Inhale, breathe through your nose, puff your belly out. Sip in a little bit more air, a little bit more air. Hold your breath at the top, and then exhale, open your mouth. Let it go. I'll see you next time.